Today on Real Radio.
Which Jesus is the Jesus of your life? Is it the Jehovah Witness Jesus? Then it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Is it the Mormon Jesus? It's not the Jesus in the Bible. Is it the Buddhist Jesus? Not the one in the Bible. Is it the Islamic Jesus? Not the one in the Bible. The reason why we're here today and the reason why we name ourselves Christians is because the Jesus of the Bible is the one that we've come to. We didn't invent him. We didn't make him up. He came to us.
Make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Our focus is on two verses of chapter 20. It's a short passage that has great significance, both scripturally and historically. This is where the Messiah refers to himself as the chief cornerstone, which the builders rejected. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
The Apostle John writes it this way, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that's admissible. You can insert that into a hearing. I've heard it. Number two, and we have seen with our eyes, that is studied. We've examined and we've come to a conclusion. Number three, we looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. John is saying, I'm bearing testimony. I'm in court. And I'm saying, I know who Jesus Christ is. I was an eyewitness to his life, says the apostle. There's another apostle. His name's Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Ladies and gentlemen, you can put 2 Peter 1:16 in court and find out, was that true or not? It stands the test of time and public opinion. Just because the Bible's old doesn't mean it's wrong. The Bible's old and you have it on your lap right now, open, because it's true. That's why it's open. That's why it's in this room. That's why we spend so much time in it. Very important. So the centrality of Jesus Christ is what we're looking at. Mark it down this way. Number one, confirmed by the documentation of history. What about this Jesus? He's under attack because people don't believe in what he's saying, that he's the Son of God. Look at verse 17. Boy, I tell you, when you study this and tear the words apart and go to the original language, I wish I would have been able to see this, the actions of verse 17. Note it. Then he, that's Jesus, looked, circle the word looked, at them and said. Let me give it to you backwards. When he spoke to them, this word said, it was with absolute authority. Wouldn't you love to have heard him? What does Jesus' voice sound like? What were his tones and inflections of his voice and words? And look at the word looked. Check out that word. This is what it means. When Jesus looked, this had to be terrifying. He looked at these three groups of nincompoops. And he did this. He fixed his eyes upon them. He latched onto them with his eyes. He fastened the gaze. The word means to peer into or at or through something, to discern them with clarity. How do you do that? What did he do? Whatever he did, the wordage here symbolizes that they were being completely examined. His eyes were so piercing, he looked so into their soul that there was a sense of insecurity and them being overwhelmed by his examination of them. I can only imagine what that must have been like. The piercing vision. The Bible speaks about God in symbolic words where it says the seven eyes of the Spirit are searching. God doesn't have seven eyes. It means perfect vision of God. He looks down deep into the soul. And look what he says. He says, what then is this that is written? Modern day tongue. What does the Bible say? By what authority, they asked him last week, Jesus, do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus speaks to them and says, what then is written? What does the Bible say? Church, whenever you conduct your life that way, you'll win. Don't say, well, my pastor said that. The Pope says, Billy Graham said, forget it. The Bible says. You say, well, what's the difference, Jack? Listen, don't quote men, because you'll only have the power of men behind you. Who wants that? Have we not learned that that doesn't work? You quote Scripture, now you've got the Holy Spirit, the power of God behind you. And everything. And all that's going on in your life. Always, always the Bible. But Jesus said, I tell you what, let's go back to history. Let's take a peek at history. Let's go to Moses. Let's go to the prophets. Let's go to the Psalms. Why is that important? In Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says, for you have magnified your word above your own name. Church, the name of God is everything. And God says, yes, that's fantastic. But you cannot separate my word from my name. God says, I exalt my word above my own name. In Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my what? Words will never pass away. And now here's, this starts a great, great moment concerning verses 17 and 18. Jot down Matthew 22, 41 to 46. Matthew 22, 41 to 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, this is the gathering of the nincompoopers. Jesus said to them, what do you think about the Christ? That's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And Jesus said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, Kyrios said to Kyrios. Interesting. That language, you can only have one Kyrios. You can't have two. God says no way to that. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Listen to what Jesus said. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? In other words, David, who's the king of Israel, if he has produced a son, David's greater than his son in the flesh. Jesus is saying, if you guys think, you religious leaders, if you guys think the Christ is from earth alone, then why would David, the man that you lean on in history past, turn around and call someone who would come from his loins, Lord said to my Lord, that the one who comes for me is my Lord, and he responds to the Lord and announces, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. It's an absolute declaration that the Messiah, the Christ, would be the Son of God. Yes, he had David's blood in him. He had to have David's blood in him. Mary, you know Mary? Mary had a little lamb, Jesus. Mary? Mary had David's blood in her. The genealogical DNA record. It's traceable in Scripture. It's all there. Who is Jesus? And why should I worship him? Why should he be such a big deal? Because the Bible teaches he is the Lord. But the Bible also teaches there's only one Lord. That's right. Our God is one, says the Bible. When Jesus, in that verse in Matthew, said what he said, the Lord said to my Lord, guess what? Jesus Christ, watch me, everybody. He reached back and he grabbed from the 110th Psalm, the first verse. Jesus reached back and said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus quoted Psalm 110 verse 1 and gave it to his opponents. He reached back to deliver the goods. And I want you to be thinking right now about reaching back to deliver the goods, always, because Jesus is under attack today. And we need to look at the evidence. I think Benjamin Franklin said this. Don't quote me on that. I think he said this, but none are so blind than those who choose not to see. Which Jesus is the Jesus of your life? Is it the Jehovah Witness Jesus? Then it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Is it the Mormon Jesus? It's not the Jesus in the Bible. Is it the Buddhist Jesus? Not the one in the Bible. Is it the Islamic Jesus? Not the one in the Bible. The reason why we're here today and the reason why we name ourselves Christians is because the Jesus of the Bible is the one that we've come to. We didn't invent him. We didn't make him up. He came to us. And everything that we believe is found in Scripture. We cannot but be Christians when we look to the Word of God. We've got to make a decision. Christian, meaning Christ follower. I don't care what denomination or non-denomination you go to. Do you follow Christ? Okay, are you ready? That was the introduction. Are you guys ready? Hey, I need some help. I'm pumped up about this. I hope you freak out too. Are you ready? By the way, see this piece of paper. Okay? It's called, Is Jesus God? They're going to be available all over this church today. Courtyard, foyer, everywhere. It's free. In fact, if you don't get one today, go to our website and print it out. Have a stack of these by your door at all times, and I'm not joking. Your door, your car, keep a number of them in your Bible. The verses that we're going to be going through today are all on here, and you're going to need this because I can tell you this has been tried, true, and proven and incredibly effective. When people come knocking on your door, don't draw your curtains and say, oh no, they're coming. Shh, they're coming. Don't answer the door, we're not home. Open the door. Come in. I'm so excited you're here today. Come on in. So listen, they knocked on your door. Open the door and say, come on in. I've been waiting for you. I want you to take this. In fact, why don't we just read it right now and go through the, and they're going to freak out. How do I know? I've done this countless times. Get it. Amazing. Here we go. We're going to reach back regarding the centrality of Jesus. From the Old Testament, listen, if God is the author of the Bible, Old and New Testament, he says he is, then shouldn't they fit like this, everyone? Huh? Should they not fit? Are you guys there? I know I never look right, look to the left very much, do I? I'm told that. You guys, you never look at me. You never look. Love you guys, though. I really do. Appreciate you. From the Old Testament, mark it down, Isaiah 48:12. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. From the New Testament, Revelation 1:11. And Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. From the Old Testament, Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Okay? The centrality of Jesus is our message today, keeping that in mind. Revelation 1:17, New Testament. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me and he said to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Isaiah 41:4, who has performed and done it? From the Old Testament, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. That's an interesting little, did you hear that? I am the first, and I am with the last. From the New Testament, Revelation 1:17 and 18. We pick it up where we left off a moment ago when I read, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Now verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Whoever the first and the last is the centrality of the Old Testament and New Testament, and whoever he is, he lived, he died, and he rose again. He's the first and the last, the centrality of Christ. From the Old Testament, Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. What's his name? I am. Yah in Hebrew. From the New Testament, Jesus, John 8:58, said to them, the Pharisees, the nincompoops, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am the self-contained, forever existing one, eternal. Jesus employs the very name of God to describe himself. That was either illegal or true. Exodus 6:2, from the Old Testament, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, Yahweh. I am Yah. From the New Testament, Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The centrality of Jesus Christ. Second consideration under this point is this. It is confirmed, he is confirmed by the documentation of the present. Now I have to control myself. I get very excited about this part of verse 17. Jesus said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Okay? Mark that down. Now listen, Jesus is not giving us or them construction material techniques of building and development. Here's some pictures that we've taken in Jerusalem. And these are the stones of the area that stood around the temple area today that remain. And they're huge. They're massive. The ones that are the biggest, my camera didn't work good, they're underground. You need to go with us to Israel. From where you're standing, you go down under that place, down to bedrock. And ladies and gentlemen, there are stones there that are cut perfectly that are about the size of a 50-foot long, 12 to 15 feet high container truck. It's one of those, you know, how did they ever build that kind of a thing moment? Absolutely spectacular. What is Jesus saying? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus is speaking about himself being that stone. He reaches back to that psalm earlier, remember? He quotes it. What is he saying? I'm the stone. I am that rock. Okay, mark it down. Jesus is saying that the relationship that you can have and should have with God is based upon him being that foundation, cornerstone, the rock, that meeting place, the centrality of Christ. From the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. Numbers 20, verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Listen. And speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield water. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how thirsty you are in the desert. You can pick up a rock, and you can say, I need a drink. You can suck on that rock and lick it all day long. Nothing's going to happen. Why? It's a rock. It's a rock unless God does a miracle. You see, that's ridiculous. That's why it's a miracle. Come on, what's wrong with you? The Bible says the children of Israel wanted water, and God says, okay, Moses, I want you to talk to the rock, and water's going to come out. That's what the Old Testament says. You say, that's so stupid. That's ridiculous. Well, let's jump thousands and thousands of years ahead, and for us, go 2,000 years back and read what one of the former nincompoops said. His name's Paul the Apostle. He was once a member of the Sanhedrin. He was once a Pharisee. What does he say about the stone, the rock that was in the wilderness that brought forth water? 1 Corinthians 10:4, New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:4, concerning the children of Israel, did they not all drink of the same spiritual drink? Well, wait a minute, they drank water. Ah, but Paul says, look behind in the invisible realm. Did they not drink of the same spiritual drink? For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. Now, church, listen. Whenever the children of Israel moved and walked, there was not this gigantic stone behind them with this little feet underneath it going along. That did not happen. This rock didn't move along with them. That is a miracle that took place. And Paul was saying that whole miracle is based upon the fact that Jesus was the rock, not the physical rock. Jesus brought forth the water from the rock. It was his miracle. He says it's Christ. Notice how the Old and the New Testament mate perfectly together regarding the centrality of Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was, who is to come, the Almighty. It's the same one. And that answer, if it's in your heart, separates heaven from hell for you. It separates everything for you. It's all about Jesus Christ. Well, you Christians make a big deal about Jesus. Yeah. I want to read something to you. It's kind of cool. It's from an old book. According to Jewish tradition, regarding the triumphal entry that was prophesied and Jesus fulfilled, according to Jewish tradition, Psalm 118 was written about the same time of Solomon's temple being completed and may have even been sung by some traditions at the Feast of Dedications regarding the temple. It is said that the passage Jesus quoted may have reference to something that occurred during the building of the temple. It will be remembered that Solomon was 7 years in constructing this glorious sanctuary, and that he had many thousands of workers who labored 6 months at a time in shifts and were superseded by others. Consequently, over a 7-year period of time, very few who were in the early days, in the early relays of those days, engaged upon the building when it was about to be completed. From the book of Kings, we read from the scriptures and learn that the stones from the temple were hewn out and cut to order in the quarry at a distant location below before being sent up to the great platform on the Temple Mount of Moriah. The Jews say that these stones were perfectly all the same size and shape, but that one stone arrived one day, listen, that was sent up, which was so different from all the other stones that they could find no place for it, and they were at a loss to what to do with it. It did not seem to fit. After consultation, they decided a mistake had been made. So they placed it upon rollers and pushed the stone off the side into the Kidron Valley below Mount Moriah as it tumbled down into the abyss. The stone which the builders rejected, but as time went on and the temple was nearing its completion, the day drew near for the placing of the chief cornerstone. There was nothing suitable to be found on the platform nor the Temple Mount area. Word was sent down to the quarry to send up the cornerstone immediately, for they were now ready to receive it. The answer came back from the quarry: "We sent it a long time ago to you. You must have it atop the Temple Mount." But through a thorough search, it failed to reveal anything. Then an old worker was consulted who remembered and said, "There was a stone sent up when at first we began to build, but we saw that we had no place for it did not fit. We hurled it down into the abyss of the valley. Go down below, search there to find it." And so they sent out a party. They eventually discovered the stone covered in debris and moss. They raised it up, took it to the Temple Mount platform above, and put it in its place exactly where it belonged. Thus, the rejected stone became the head cornerstone of the temple. Jesus, knowing this, announces that he is, in fact, the direct descendant of that verse from the book of Psalms. It's absolutely spectacular. It's absolutely wonderful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from portions of chapters 19 and 20. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember our special offer this month, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, an examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes. And quite honestly, doesn't that sound like something that must be addressed today? Well, Pastor Jack does deal with it today, and it's available on DVD. To obtain Pastor Jack's series Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it by name when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, and we'll be glad to send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.